It is good to be with you. Our scripture this morning comes from the beginning of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 12 through 20. This is just after our passage from a couple of weeks ago where Jesus was baptized. And the Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited upon him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. We are into the new year now. This is a week of new beginnings. For the college students who are returning to class and the faculty and staff that welcome them, and of course, new beginnings for us and for this church. We are so grateful to you for your kindness to us throughout this transition. But as we begin our time together, there is something that you should know. I have been banned from Walmart. There, I said it. Now you know. I think it was just the one branch there in Southern California, for I have entered other stores around the country, and the kindly greeters there at the front door have simply smiled and waved. I'm not sure if it was a lifetime ban or something else, but I have never ventured back to find out. It was bound to happen, really. It was a Friday night. I was at college, and I am not cool. You should know that about me, too. You can ask my wife. She has known me for some time now, and she has met my childhood friends. She can attest to this fact. I am not now, nor have I ever been burdened by the demands of coolness. It was a Friday night, and I was not cool, and so I was not out at a party or a social gathering. I was sitting in my dorm room with my buddy Steve, who was also not cool. We were trying to think of something to do, and that's how we ended up at Walmart. It was not the field hockey in the toy aisle that did it. It wasn't the wiffle ball or the ultimate frisbee. No, it was the hide and seek. I'm pretty sure we were banned the moment an unsuspecting customer looking for a pair of pants, pulled one out of the circular rack and found one of us hiding behind the clothes. If I had been alone and uncool, I likely would have gone for a walk or read a book, maybe watched a movie. But I was together with friends and otherwise reasonable young people when left to their own devices with each other. Well, you never know what they will do. Because there are things you will try when you have someone else to try it with you that you would never do on your own. In the church calendar, this season after Christmas is called Epiphany. The aha revealing of the mystery of who Jesus is. As Cindy and I begin our ministry here with you, we are looking together at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Mark's gospel starts out like this. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark doesn't give us any stories of angels or wise men. Instead, he begins in the desert, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." John the Baptist appears, baptizing multitudes in the Jordan River and proclaiming that he is only the beginning, the vanguard for the one who is yet to come. In Joe Crabill's sermon here a couple of weeks ago, we saw Jesus himself come to the river to be baptized by John. Then heaven opened up, the Spirit descended, and a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry, coming up out of the water. And we are told the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. Jesus' ministry begins in the wilderness. Like Moses in the wilderness by the mountain of God with a bush aflame. Like the people of Israel entering the promised land only after having spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Jesus, we are told, was there for 40 days, tempted by Satan among the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. It seems perhaps that this time of struggle, this uncertain no man's land of transition, this uncomfortable wilderness serves as fertile soil, if we will allow it, for new beginnings. Then John is imprisoned and Jesus emerges and begins to preach. I will not try to improve on the Lord's first sermon, only relate it. "The time is fulfilled," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." John, we are told, proclaimed a baptism of repentance for forgiveness. Jesus, too, calls his hearers to repent. The kingdom of God has come near, and that changes something fundamental inside of us, changes something fundamental in how the world itself works. Encountering the kingdom, encountering Jesus, changes us, and it is good news. We can't help but look different. And then Jesus calls his first disciples. He is neither famous nor infamous yet. Jesus is simply walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he sees two fishermen and then two more. And he invites them to follow him. How did they know? How did they know that this was something different, something special? Maybe they didn't. Maybe they weren't sure. But they dropped their nets and they followed him. It was another Friday night a couple years later. And being still uncool, my buddy Steve and I found ourselves alone in my apartment to ponder life. I took out my wallet, pulled out a $20 bill, probably the only one I had, and I slapped it down on the table. "What would you do," I said, "with $20... a few hours, and a friend who'd come along with you?" Steve looked back at me. "I don't know," he said. Then he pulled out his own $20 bill and slapped it down next to mine. "What would you do with $40, a few hours, a car with a full tank of gas, and a friend who would come along?" I don't remember who suggested it, but it was cold that night, by Southern California standards anyway. So we went to the store, Target, not Walmart. And we filled up the trunk of his car with blankets. We drove around handing them out to homeless folks. Ended up on a street corner in Pasadena at some point talking with a panhandler named Bernard who told us about his life. Ended up bringing a hitchhiker back to the apartment for a hot meal, a hot shower, and a night in a warm bed. It was a long time ago. I can't speak for Steve, but I don't suppose I've done anything quite like that for years. I've become too secure, too scared, to be honest, too careful, too comfortable. I have lost my sense of impulsivity, for better and for worse. I don't know how much good we did that night, Steve and I. Maybe there were other more prudent ways that we could have used our time and resources, things that could have had a much more lasting impact. But I liked the impulse. I liked the people we were that night. It's who I want to be, the kind of person I want to be. I want to be someone who goes out on a limb, worrying most about trying to be faithful to God's leading, worrying most about trying to be faithful to God's love for the people around me. I never would have gotten there alone. I never would have done it without him to egg me on. As I read about those first disciples, about the way they got up and left everything behind and followed just like that, I marveled. How did they do it? Where did they find the courage? Then I noticed something. For these first ones anyway, for Simon and Andrew, for James and John, they were called together. When Jesus passed along by the sea and invited them to follow, they were not alone. Maybe they looked at each other for a moment, shrugged, said, "I guess we're doing this," and got up and followed him. They followed him all the way together. To the cross, to the empty tomb, and beyond. In a way, that's my hope for us here at Stone Church on this journey together. That we will inspire each other to live lives that look truly different from the world around us. That we will help each other to see where Jesus is leading, and that we will find the courage in one another to drop our nets, to get up and follow wherever he may lead. Amen.